All right. I'm happy to be here. I'm glad you all could come to my talk. This is a pretty broadly multidisciplinary project. I'm really only going to cover a couple of aspects of it. I'm all focusing on pest management. So first, Michigan has the sixth greatest organic fruit production in the nation. We've had a recent survey produced by Michigan State University asking organic farmers what their management priorities are, and pest management for fruit producers has consistently been a high one. In apples, we're faced with a number of direct pests, as many of you probably know. We also have a number of indirect pests. We also have weed problems and pathogen problems. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit about data we've collected looking at plum curculio and codling moth, as well as some weed management data. So first, I wanted to talk a little bit about the plum curculio's life cycle, for those of you who may not be familiar with this insect pest. So this is a univoltine pest. It's a Native American species. It has a very broad host range. It attacks most stone and pome fruits. The adult will typically migrate into the orchard from the edge or from a wooded tree row. In the early spring in Michigan, they actually emigrate in prior to fruit set in apples typically. Once apples reach a favorable stage for oviposition, the female inserts her eggs in these little crescent slits. The larvae develops inside, essentially ruining the fruit. And then in late June, the fruit will typically abort off the tree and fall on the soil surface. Once this happens, the larvae will migrate into the soil pupate. Then they'll emerge in the summer, typically in August, and add insult to injury with some adult feeding. So in organic systems for apples especially, this is a very difficult pest to manage. All our pest management tactics really focus on the adult, and we don't have anything very very potent or powerful for them. Mostly it's kaolin or pyganic. And so this approach would be targeting them in the soil. Codling moth is a multivoltine species. This is more of an orchard resident. We have good pest management that targets eggs, neonates, and adults, mating disruption for adults, oils, and virus for eggs and neonates, respectively. The larvae of the codling moth will pupate on the trees, on litter in the orchard, some will pupate in the soil surface. And there's some early work in the 40s, 60s, and 70s that said that perhaps up to 20% may do this. So again, we're targeting this pest in the soil, which is somewhat novel. So this idea is really something that was grower-driven. Our cooperator and co-author, Jim Cohn, initially tried managing his plum curculio using guinea fowl in his organic apple orchard. And what he found was the guinea fowl did a good job finding adult plum curculio. Unfortunately, they didn't look up, and hawks found them quite readily. So his next idea was, hey, you know, pigs are much bigger than guinea fowl, so I don't think hawks are going to cause me a problem there. So he set out and got some hogs and brought these in. And one of the advantages to using hogs is in addition to feeding on perhaps insects, they'll also pick up fruit that's harboring these pests. They also will provide some soil disturbance in the form of rooting and traction. And this next slide is a short video. It's going to talk about the hogs a bit, and this will demonstrate some of their activity. These are Berkshires. They're a heritage breed from the British Isles. In that realm, they're sort of comparable meat-wise to an Angus cow here, so it's a very high-end hog. They're a pasture-adapted breed. These really aren't a CAFO animal, and they're very well adapted to foraging on their own. They're also very docile is not the right word. Friendly is a good word. These are very friendly animals. They're very easy to manage. And what I'd like you to see here is, first off, the size of the pigs. We're using 50 to 100 pound pigs. We're not using 300 pound pigs. We're keeping these in the orchard for very short periods of time, and we're allowing them to forage. And at the end of the 2 or 3 day period that they're in there, you can see the level of soil disturbance. This is mostly constrained to the drip line of the trees, which is also favorable because they're not tearing up the drive rows. So the objectives that I wanted to talk about today were some earlier work we've done. The first was to look at grazing effect on the June-dropped apples, or aborted fruit that came down due to infestation by plum curculio, to look at how this may interplay with plum curculio damage in the organic orchard, to look at codling moth damage, and then finally to just kind of get a baseline measurement of the hog's impact on weed stand density within the tree rows. So our general methods, the orchard we selected, or that our cooperator selected, is a low to mid-density orchard, about 900 trees per hectare. So these are large trees. They're not particularly comparable to a modern planting. We use 6 1-acre blocks, three of which were flash grazed, three of which were not grazed. We use 25 to 30 hogs at a time. They're allowed in for about 2 to 3 day intervals and kept in through the use of electric fencing. And they were rotated on more or less a 7 day period through the three grazed blocks. In 2007, they were allowed in the blocks during the June drop period, which would be late June, early July. In 2008, we actually had them in there prior to fruit set, and then again during the June drop period. And these hogs were kept, for the most part, in lots and barn away from the orchard. So again, they weren't in the orchard all the time. As far as methods, we measured plum curculio in 2007 and 2008. The first thing we did was quantify June drop by looking at 10 trees in each block for 3 weeks and quantifying how many fruit were on the orchard floor. And then we looked at damage, both the ovipositional damage in June as well as adult feeding in August by looking at 600 fruit per drop for per plot. And this was led by David Epstein. For codling moth, we just started this in 2008, and we used adult monitoring using 4 traps per block. We also took a 200 fruits sample per block in August, looking at stings and codling moth entries. Weed methods were a little different. We used 3 permanent 24-meter transects per block that were placed randomly prior to hog grazing. We used Dobbenmeyer frames as our quadrat with a 1-meter interval. We looked at the percentage of grass, forbs, bare, and tree coverage. Forbs are herbaceous plants, for those of you not familiar with that nomenclature. And we used a 21-day sampling interval. A subset of 9 of those frames per treatment were harvested, and we looked at dry biomass at the end of the study period. So first off, for June drops, this figure here, this top chart shows data for 2007. This shows data for 2008. As you can see, we had pretty comparable numbers of fruit on the ground for both sets. These little tiny bars you really can't see that are in black are where we had hog grazing. And essentially, we had almost 100% removal of apples through our grazing. And we were pretty excited about that. So when we move on and look at plum curculio activity in the orchard, this is, again, 2007, 2008. This shows oviposition damage and then feeding. In 2007, we actually had slightly more oviposition in our grazed blocks. This is before we had grazing in the blocks, of course. When it came time for adult densities, though, we had a very significant reduction. This may have carried over in 2008, although we did not find a significant difference, but there is a fairly strong numerical pattern there, so we may be seeing some carryover effect. And then again, we saw a big reduction in feeding. We had very low fruit set in 2008 due to some frost, so these numbers are a bit affected by that as well. So for codling moth, this shows a average per trap per block capture over the course of the study. The red line shows grazed, the black ungrazed. We really didn't see much of an effect here. There may be a slight trend, but certainly nothing significant or striking. This really didn't surprise us too much because the orchard we were using was a very oddly shaped one, and our blocks were consisted of 2 or 3 rows and were quite long and adjacent to each other. So a vagile adult moth would very easily cross over between our treatments. But we felt we had to address adult densities. In contrast, when we looked at damage, we actually found a 3-fold decrease in percentage damage at the end of the season, with about 7.5% damage in the ungrazed plots and about 2.5% damage in the grazed. This was based on 1 year of data, though, and is fairly preliminary. Moving on to weed density, this is one of the sampling frames we used. Again, the black lines show the ungrazed, the red, the grazed. These are stars indicate significance using a student's t-test. Hogs were first grazed sort of in between these two sampling points. And right away what you see is for percent grass cover, we immediately saw a big reduction. Grass was by far the dominant cover type in these orchards. When we look at percent bare ground cover, those lines flip. And what this says is that we saw a lot of heavily disturbed ground due to hog sort of tillage action. So this was also very satisfying data. Then when we look at biomass, it more or less backs this up. We had quite significant differences in grass and total biomass. And as you can see, we had very little forbs in the orchard, and next to no shrub, and the trees were not a big factor. 75% reduction of grass, and a 50% reduction of forbs. So for conclusions, from our 2 years of data, we're fairly confident in saying that hogs reduce plum curculio damage. And we may be seeing some carryover effect for oviposition. This is pretty exciting. Most likely, this is through consumption of June drops. We had an animal scientist look at curculio survival of the hog gut and found that they don't survive the hog gut, which is not very surprising. Hogs may also have reduced codling moth damage. Again, that's very preliminary. And grazing and rooting has a large impact. So our next steps will be to take this into a high-density orchard that's more representative of current horticultural practice. We'd like to track these pests for 4 or more years to try to get it year-to-year differences and see if we're getting a reduction in population over time. We'd also like to bring apple scab and apple maggot into this. We'd also like to look at rodents because there's good correlation between heavy grass cover and rodent damage. And then finally, we really need to look at food safety issues. We've begun this, but we need to develop a good microbial risk assessment model. This was funded primarily by the USDA, and these people helped with this research, and I'd like to leave a little bit of time for questions. So, all right.
I actually had a question.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you talked about preliminary evidence for reduction of codling moth damage. Is it possible that not only are the hogs consuming the apples that codling moth could be overwintering in, but they're rooting and they're digging could be actually disrupting that topsoil layer?
So the question was, what's the mode of activity with hogs interacting with codling moth, be it in the soil or rather consuming the fruit? And that's really something I want to chase after in this next field season. It's possible that we have aborted fruit with codling moth in them, of course, but they do disturb the soil down to a depth of, 15 centimeters. So they very well may be rooting up these larvae.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.